Amen.
Amen.
We can celebrate that day, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Matthew chapter 28, if you would, in your Bibles this morning. Matthew chapter 28, I have two passages of Scripture. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 28, being the first one. And then I want you to hold your place there and find your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Matthew chapter 28 is the first place, and then 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Again, thank you, visitors, for being with us today. We thank you so much for coming. The Lord has done great things here at Midway Baptist Church in the last few months. And we're thankful for what the Lord's doing.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord's still on the throne. Amen. He's still answering prayers. And we sing those songs because He loves us. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but should have everlasting life.
Amen.
We celebrate today as the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Because He loves us, amen. That's why He went to the cross. That's why He came and died for our sins, so we could have life eternal. What a blessing that is, amen, to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter number 28, I want to read to you in your hearing this morning a very familiar passage of Scripture. Most people have probably heard it in church on Easter Sunday. And I don't call it Easter Sunday, because it's Resurrection Sunday. Right. Let me just throw this out there for you real quickly. Easter is a pagan holiday. It is one that's mentioned in the Bible. You'll find the word Easter in the Bible. But even in the Bible, when it talks about Easter, it's not talking about the Christian's resurrection celebration. It is talking about the fertility and the bunny rabbits in the spring and all that stuff that was pagan, that was not of the believers. It was all the unbelievers. That's what they celebrated. So even though it's mentioned in the Bible, it doesn't mean that it's right, amen, to celebrate Easter. Oh my, this preacher is preaching on Easter this morning. It's not about the bunny rabbits. It's not about the fertility. It's not about starting off with something fresh. It's about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
That's what we celebrate. All right, now we got that out of the way. Everybody's getting upset with me. I'm going to preach. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1. At the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn to the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. Let me say this morning. It wasn't for Jesus to get out. Amen. He didn't want to slow away for Jesus to get. Jesus already gone. Amen. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. Verse number 3. Verse number 4. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. I must, in verse 6, say this morning. I can't get past it. I must say this. The Lord always does what He says He's going to do.
Yeah.
Everywhere you find in the Bible where He said He was going to rise from the grave, everywhere you find that in this passage of Scripture, He kept His promise. Amen.
Yeah.
Every time the Lord has ever said it, He always keeps His promise.
Amen.
Always does what He says He's going to do. Remember that. He said, I will come again. Amen.
Yeah.
And if he said, if I go away to prepare a place, I will come again.
Right.
So he kept His promises all throughout the Bible. Why should He lie to us
then?
Amen. He always keeps His word. The Bible says in verse 6, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him. Lo, I have told you. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples' word. Now listen, it's good to run with the message. Amen. They was running to tell. That's what we ought to be doing in our day. Amen. Running to tell. We've got a message to tell that Jesus is resurrected from the grave. Amen. So they were trying to tell the message. We need to continue to do that with great joy, as the Bible said. Verse number 9, and as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. That all hail there means rejoice.
Yeah.
Amen. When you meet Jesus, it's a time to rejoice.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
What a day that was when I met the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
All hail means to rejoice. So think about the day that you met the Lord on your road to damnation, on your road to destruction, and you met the Lord. What a day they were to rejoice, amen. As they meet Jesus, He says to them, all hail. And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. Verse 10, the Bible says, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Say in verse number 13, now this is what they were telling those soldiers. They said, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And the saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. And I have a question for verse number 13. I have a real serious question about that passage of Scripture. They said to these soldiers, you take this money, and if anybody asks you about this Christ that's so-called risen from the grave, you tell them that his disciples came and stole him away while we were asleep. Now, can we think about that for just a moment? If they were asleep, how did they know who took the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hello? Amen? If they were asleep, how did they know that the disciples came and took him? Amen? So it's foolish to say such a thing, but the Bible says that it's commonly reported even to this day among the Jews. So the devil, of course, is a liar and a father of it. Amen? And he's trying to lie about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Then the 11 disciples, verse 16, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. That's a shame that some doubted. I mean, he's resurrected bodily from the grave, and they see him. There he is before their eyes, but yet they still some that doubt. Isn't it amazing sometimes whenever we have services like we're having today, and the Spirit of the Lord is as sweet as it is in here this morning? And listen, you can feel the presence of the Lord here. It's like he's right here before us. But there'll still be some that doubt. Amen. There's still some that say, I don't know about that Jesus. I don't know about that church over there, what they're doing. I doubt those things are real. And listen, everything that we say, everything that we shout about, everything we rejoice about comes from the precious Word of God. Amen. It's not my theology. It's not the church's theology. It's not the church's philosophy. But it is the precious words of God. Amen. God wrote it down. God penned it down. And if God said it, that settles it where anybody believes it or not. Amen. Let me say this. We use the 1611 King James Bible. But listen, the church didn't begin in 1611. We have something in our day that's called the B.C. date and the A.D. date. B.C. means before Christ came, and A.D. means after Christ died. And so even in our calendar, they believe there's a God. Amen. They believe that he came and that he died. Amen.
Right.
Some of them still don't believe that he resurrected from the grave, but you go to the grave, there's proof. Amen. There's proof all in the Bible. Jesus said there in verse number 18, Jesus came speaking to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Amen. Go ye therefore teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And Jesus now, finally rose from the grave, and he meets the disciples, which were apostles, after they've seen the resurrected Lord. That's what made them apostles. Amen. That's why we don't have apostles in our day, because they've not seen the resurrected Lord. Amen. And so we find here that he sees them, he meets them on the road, and he says, all power is given unto me, and I want you to go and teach all nations. Amen. Teach them and baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you all, even unto the end of the world. Jesus said, you go tell it, son, I'll be with you all the way to the end. I'm concerned about our day. Many folks are failing to remember that Jesus said, I'll be with you until the end.
Amen.
Amen. It ain't over with yet. It might seem like it to some people because of who's in offices and our leadership. It may seem like it because of what's going on in nations around us. But this thing ain't over with yet. And Jesus Christ said, you go and tell it. Amen. But listen, I've read the news. Y'all have read the news. I'm sure you keep up with things that's going on in our world today. And there's so many opposition and so much coming against the church. They're coming against believers. They're coming against the Christian. They're trying to say that we're racist and we're supremacist and all this other bunch of hogwash. And they're trying to silence the believer. They're trying to silence the Christian to get us to zip up. Don't say any more about that Lord of yours. Just keep your mouth shut, amen, and everything be all right. Jesus Christ said, you go and tell, and I'll be with you all the way to the end. Amen. Don't give up now. It's not time to quit. Amen. Now, listen, let me just interject this real quick this morning. Since we got some visitors, got some young people here, the Lord needs some mighty soldiers in His army. Amen. There's a bunch of quitters out there. There's a bunch that don't care about anything except themselves, don't care nothing about the church or about the Lord. But there's coming a day when we all stand before Him. Amen. We'll stand before Him and we'll answer for what we've done in these battles. Amen. The Lord needs some good soldiers. Needs somebody that will stand on the front line and say, I'll go all the way, Father, if you'll just go with me. Amen. He's already promised He would.
Amen.
All right, stay with me now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, go with me. You were thinking as you preach on the resurrection, you were thinking everybody had it figured out, all the believers had it figured out, and everybody was just on board with the resurrection. But here's a passage of Scripture that Paul is writing to the church. Hello, I said the church.
Yeah.
Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's telling these people at the church at Corinth, there's some that believe the resurrection, and as we read in the book of Matthew, that some doubt. And there's still some, even in the church, that doubted the resurrection of the Lord. All saints, and each and every one of us this morning, there's no way you and I can truly be born again believers if we do not believe in the resurrection of the Lord.
Yes,
amen. Amen. If you don't believe that, then your faith is weak. Amen. And if you don't believe that, then there's a good possibility that you don't believe in the rest of the Bible. If you don't believe in the resurrection, Lord, I'm not trying to be critical or cruel. I'm trying to help us. Amen. I'm trying to help. If you don't believe in the resurrection of the Lord, if you don't believe He bodily rose from the grave, your salvation, my friend, is vain.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Let me read you the Bible now. And I'm not trying to, again, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm trying to help you. This is a situation in the Bible that Paul is writing to the church at Corinth because there was some in that church that did not believe. They doubted. Look with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 12. Verse number 12, the Bible says, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? See, there was a claim that there was no resurrection in the church. And Paul said, how can you say that? If Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how can some in the church say there's no resurrection? What's this number? Verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Verse 14. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. We're wasting our time. If Christ be not risen, your faith is also vain. What does that mean? That means if Christ is not risen, your faith is empty. Your faith in the finished work of Calvary is worthless if Christ be not risen. There's the claim here in the church that there's no resurrection. Verse 15, the Bible says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. If Christ be not risen, we're false witnesses. Because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable.
Right.
I like verse number 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. The first fruits was a sign of what was to come. Amen. Hold on to that. Christ was the first fruits of the resurrection. Amen. The first fruits of them that slept. The first fruits was a sign of what was to come. In other words, there's going to be more resurrected bodies. For since by man came death, verse 21, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He have put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For He hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under his feet, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. When all things, verse 28, when all things be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? Why stand ye in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, verse 31, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. I'm going to stop reading there, verse number 31, and call your attention back to verse number 12. For if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is the resurrection of the dead? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for the privilege you've given us to be in your house. I pray, Lord, you illuminate this mind, guard these lips of clay. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, to say those things that are necessary and needful in this hour. Father, I pray that you guard these lips of clay. I pray that you give me clarity of speech, clarity of thought. Open up the hearts of everyone that's here today. I pray, God, today that the word would go forth and accomplish your will. I pray, God, there'd be no hindrances to the service this morning. I pray, Father, have your will and have your way. Lord, if there's someone listening to my social media this morning that's lost and undone without Jesus Christ, Lord, may today be that day they come to know Christ as their Savior, as Lord of their life and Savior of their soul. Lord, for someone here today, the congregation, Lord, has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of their life and Savior of their soul, I pray, God, you'd help them to realize, Lord, what it means to be saved and the seriousness and reality for their salvation. And Lord, help them to see that resurrection of our Lord and Savior is real. And Father, I pray, you'd help them to realize their condition. There may be some here today, Father, that's discouraged in the way. I pray, God, you'd encourage their hearts. Lift them up, dear Father, I pray. And encourage them, Father, this thing ain't over to God. You say it's over. I pray, God, you encourage every believer here today. Help us, Lord, to worship and rejoice in the great things that we read in your precious word. Have your will and have your way in all that's said and done. We'll thank you, Father, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' living name we pray. Amen. And amen. I call your attention to the passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians. I've said already that there's a claim of no resurrection. Paul was dealing with that at the church of Corinth. And listen, there's the possibilities that somebody's going to deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How say some among you? They had the attitude within the church that there was some that thought that the resurrection that wasn't real. But not everybody was like that. There's a majority probably believe that the resurrection was real because God said in His Word that it was real. But I want to deal for just a few minutes on that thought of how say some among you that the resurrection is not so. I'm going to share with you some consequences of no resurrection. If there was no resurrection, and the Lord Jesus Christ never bodily rose from the grave, there would be some serious consequences. Let me share with you real quickly. First of all, look with me in verse number 14. The Bible says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. If the Lord Jesus Christ never rose from the grave, that means our preaching is vain. That means it's empty. My preaching would be worth nothing this morning. It would be just as air coming out of my mouth. It would mean nothing to the hearers. If the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't resurrected, our preaching would be in vain. There'd be no promise for the soul of man. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 19. The Bible says in verse number 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of all men most miserable. If Jesus Christ never resurrected from the grave, the preaching would be in vain, and everything that we hear would be in vain, and we'd be men most miserable. Amen. That word men means mankind. It includes men and women, boys and girls. Amen. We'd be all miserable if this is all we had in this life. And at the end of this life, we go into the ground and we rot. If that's all we had, my soul, we'd be miserable individuals. Amen. There's some believe that. There's some believe today that they die, they go into the ground and they rot, and that's the end of life. My friend, that's no way to live. Amen. There's hope in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a better life on the other side of glory. Amen. There is a place. Amen. Preacher, how do you know that? Because God wrote it down. God told me so. Amen. And the Bible says that my God cannot lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. Never has He settled anything that wasn't true. Always kept every promise. That's how I know it's real. Preacher, you've never seen heaven. No, I ain't never seen it. But I know God said it and I believe it. Amen. By the eyes of faith, I believe there's a glory. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a place prepared for me. He said, I'll prepare a mansion for you. I believe, thank God, there's a mansion on the other side of the earth. I ain't never seen it, but I believe it's there. Amen. He said He prepared for me, and He's done that for me. A wretched, vile sinner as I. He listen, He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He's prepared a place for me. Thank God, in one of these days I'm going to see it. Because He
Whoa.
I'm telling you, our preaching would be in vain if it wasn't for the resurrection of the Lord.
Amen.
There'd be no hope for the souls of men. I'm glad, thank God, there's hope.
Amen.
There's hope. Hallelujah. Let me. I got to preach these 16 points. I got here. I'm just kidding. There's only six, so don't leave. If there was no resurrection, the consequences of that is found in verse number 17. Look with me in verse number 17. The Bible says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Not only is my preaching vain, but your faith is vain. I've preached it and you've believed it. You've read it from the Word of God and believed it. You've heard the words of God. If Christ be not raised from the grave, and those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior, put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have believed in something that cannot help them. If Jesus be not raised.
Right.
The consequences of that is that we have unfounded faith. We have unpromising preaching and we have unfounded faith. If the resurrection was not so, these are serious consequences. To think that your life and my life would just go into the ground and let me to eat. To think that through this life we believe something that wasn't so. Had somebody ask me one time, been a few years back, one of the men I work with. He said, preacher, I'm asking you a question. I said, go right ahead, ask anything you like. He said, where dinosaurs come from? I said, God made them. That bug was a little noodle. He didn't expect me to answer that. I said, who cares where dinosaurs come from? I said, no. He said, let me ask you a serious question. I said, all right, let's get serious. Ask me a serious question. He said, what if, whenever you die, you go down to eternity, and all this stuff that you believe is not so? He said, all these things that you preach, all this stuff that you believe the Bible teaches, if you get out into eternity and find there's no God, and you find that everything you believe was a lie, he said, what are you going to do? I said, I'll just have to accept it as it is. But I promise you this, my friend, I'll have no regrets.
Amen.
And then I flipped that around on him, and I said, let me ask you a question. He said, okay, go ahead. Anything you want to ask me. I said, what happens whenever you get out there, and everything that you didn't believe, you find out that it's true. What will you do? And he dropped his head. This preacher never thought about it that way. I said, if I get out there at the end of life and I find out that everything I preach, everything I believe was not true, if I just go out into annihilation or whatever happened, I would not have any regrets.
Amen.
Because I believed in the Word of God and I believed that God was real. I won't have any regrets. But if you dismiss that, if you go out into eternity, if you don't accept this book as being truth, and if you don't believe the Word of God, when life is over, there will be an eternal damnation for every soul that's rejected.
Amen.
You will, according to the Word of God, you will live a life through eternity, and you will live in regret. And you will hear every time you was invited to church.
Yeah.
I told this gentleman, I said, you believe that? That every time I've invited you to church, you'll remember that when you get into hell.
Yeah.
He said, oh, no, I don't believe that. I said, I can give you chapter and verse. He said, give me a Bible, let me show you. This rich man lifted up his eyes, been in hell.
Amen.
And he said, remember, I have five brothers go send somebody to tell
him.
He remembered. Amen. There's memory there. So, listen, let me say this is one of those. If the resurrection be not, they'd be unfounded faith. I got to move on. They'd be an untrue witness. Verse number 14 and 15. The Bible says we're found. We are believers. We're found false witnesses of God. Because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ.
If Christ be not risen, then those who preach the gospel based on the resurrection are nothing but liars.
Oh, that's serious. That's serious talk right there, isn't it?
If those that preach the resurrection and Jesus bodily rose from the grave, if the resurrection be not real, then everyone that preaches that is a liar.
Right.
But according to the Bible, John chapter 8, verse 44, the Bible says that Satan is a liar. The devil's a liar, and he's the father of it. Amen. Right. He's the one that tells everybody that it ain't real. He's a liar.
Right.
Because the resurrection is real. Verse number 17, not only do we have unfounded faith and untrue witnesses, but then we also have unforgiven sins. Oh my, listen. Verse number 17, the Bible says, if Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. If the resurrection wasn't real, you and I this morning that are believers would still be living in our sins. What does that mean? That means we have to stand before God and give an account for the sins. Amen. And that in our bodies we have to give an account for being a sinner. As believers, we have to give an account for what we've done in these bodies since we've been saved. But we don't have to give an account for our sins. Our sins are washed away.
Amen.
Our sins are done away with. At the moment we accept Jesus Christ as Lord of our life and Savior of our soul, our sins are gone.
Amen.
Doesn't make us sinless. Because we still sin, but we strive not to sin. But our sins are gone. Amen. We don't have to answer for those. Amen. As believers. But those who never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ will stand and answer for every deed done in your bodies.
Right.
Every idle words you've ever spoken. Everything you've ever thought. You'll give an account for that.
Right.
And the sad part about it is, hell is the consequence. You and I this morning, if the resurrection wasn't real, we'd still be in our sins. You know where we'd be headed? To a devil's hell.
That's right.
Let me say this this morning. Hell wasn't created for humans.
No.
Hell was created for the devil and his angels.
Right.
Because they rebelled against God. In the beginning, whenever you rebel against God, Genesis chapter 3. Amen. Hell was created for the devil and his fallen angels.
Yes.
But the punishment for sin is for all who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. All who reject God's Word. They find themselves in eternity in the devil's hell. You're yet in your sins. The greatest need of mankind is to have his sins forgiven by God. That's the greatest need anybody can have this morning.
Amen.
Is to have their sins forgiven.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Without the resurrection of Christ, this will not happen. Verse number 17 and 18, the Bible there says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In other words, those that's already died. If they die believing that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and it be not so, they died and they perished in their sins. If it be not so. Those who trust in Christ for salvation will not be saved, and they will go to hell anyway. If it wasn't so, they'd be unsaved souls. Then verse number 19, again, I'm going to repeat this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. So we have, if the resurrection is not so, the consequence of that is unpromised preaching, unfounded faith, untrue witnesses, unforgiven sins, unsaved souls, and some very unhappy people. All we have in this life. Because our faith in Him, we have given up the world, and we've given up the pleasures of this world. Because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've given up a lot. We've become strangers and pilgrims in this world. Amen. If there be no Christ, then all that would be a mistake. My friend, I report to you this morning, it ain't no mistake.
Amen.
It ain't no mistake. We are pilgrims and strangers in a foreign land. But listen, it's real. Amen. All right, let me give you some confirmation of the resurrection. The occurrence of the resurrection was challenged by those at Corinth. And Paul, he confirms that the resurrection did indeed happen. Amen. Verse number 20, the Bible says there, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. This verse assures us that Christ rose from the grave. It assures us that the divine power prevailed and Christ overcame death and hell. and the grave.
Amen.
Amen. And Jesus said himself, I have the keys to death and hell.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus himself has the keys. How did he get those keys? Well, he died and was buried in a borrowed tomb. And those 3 days he didn't just lay there and not do anything. He went down to hell, slapped the devil around a little bit, took the keys away from him and said, I'll be back.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll be back and put you in everlasting chains and everlasting bondage, and you'll never rule again. Amen.
Hey,
listen, he took the keys. He has divine power, and he did that. He overcame death and overcame the grave. That's why the Bible goes over there in verse number 55. In that same chapter, go back to verse 54 of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? There's no sting of death for the believer, and there's no victory of the grave. They can bury me 40 feet under if they want to. That grave can't hold me down. Amen. That grave can't hold you down this morning. Amen. There's no victory of the grave. There's no sting of death. What does that mean, preacher? That means whenever you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, believe the Word of God, when we exit this world, and there's no sting of death.
Amen.
But if you die in your sins and go to a devil's hell, you'll feel that sting of death. There's a lot of men I've seen, a lot of pictures I've seen, and people talk about people that's died and just have the awfulest look on their face. I've heard stories of people that would scream and cry in the hospitals and say, please put the fire out. Please put the fire out. You know why they do that? Because there's that sting of death. But for the believer, I've heard many other stories that say they had a big smile on their face. I don't know if everybody smiles when they die or not. That may be just some kind of muscle reaction or something. I don't know what happens there, but I do know this. My Bible says it's real, and there's no sting of death. My former pastor that I was called to preach under, he had diabetes, and he cut off one of his legs, and he cut off a foot, and I mean, he was just being dissected, I reckon you'd say, disassembled before he went. They're just cutting off everything. But anyway, he went on to be with the Lord, and he was laid on the hospital bed, and he believed this precious old book. Amen. And he preached it every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He believed the Word of God. And they said when he went off into eternity, he said, I see.
Amen.
Woo! Preacher, you believe that? Absolutely do. What do you think he saw? You think maybe he saw his dead? No, I don't think he saw his dead. I think he saw his father, though.
Yeah.
Amen. You're a fanatic. We call me whatever you want to. I just believe it's real.
Yeah.
There is. Listen, the Bible says there's a sting of death.
Yeah.
And every believer that, listen, goes out into eternity, there's no sting of death. Jesus took care of that. Amen.
Amen.
At the resurrection, he comes up from the grave, bodily rose from the grave, and he took care of that sting of death, and he took care of that grave. Amen. Can't hold these mighty.
Amen.
The believer's faith in Christ is not in vain. The Bible here uses that word first fruits in verse number 20. And become the first fruits of them that slept. First fruits refers to the first gathering of the harvest that Israel was to give to God and the thanksgiving for the harvest. The first fruits was the promise of what was to come. Christ as the first fruits was a promise to the saints that they also would be resurrected from the grave. Amen. That'll make a Presbyterian sound. Amen. You don't have to be a Presbyterian, you can still shout. Amen. Verse number 21. We find the assurance of the resurrection, the analogy of the resurrection in the first fruits. Then we find the arrangement of the resurrection in verse number 21. Look with me. Verse number 21, the Bible says, for since by man came death, and by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as an animal died, even so Christ shall all be made alive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ and his coming. There's the arrangement. This is repeated, a repeat of verse number 20, showing the emphasis to the promise of the resurrection. There is a resurrection. Amen. There was some that denied it at the church of Corinth. There's some religions of our day that deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some say he didn't bodily come out of the grave. They said it was a spirit that came out of the grave. That's not the Bible that I preach. That's not the Bible that God wrote. Amen. According to Scripture, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is in fact the absolute truth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to down the cross of the world. All those that believe on His name, trust Him as Savior, repent toward God, for their sins shall also be resurrected. As the Bible says, when He comes back at His appearing, they shall also be resurrected. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 14, for if we believe that Jesus died, rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's enough to make us run a lap and shout a while. Amen. When Jesus comes, hey, listen, He's going to call up the dead first, and those that are alive and remain shall meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. These are comforting words. Amen. If I say by the grace of God this morning, these are some comforting words, that Jesus is a coming soon. Amen. These are comforting words if we're saved. We've trusted Christ. These are comforting words. But let me say this morning in closing. If you're not saved, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you've never made that decision, you are man most miserable. And these are not comforting words. Because I promise you, according to the Bible, Jesus is coming.
Amen.
He's on His way. Amen. The scoffers, the Bible said, say, hey, where is He coming? Ever since your fathers fell asleep, you've been talking about Him coming. He ain't come yet. I can tell you, according to the Word of God, I can't put a date on it, because the Bible says, no man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. But according to the Word of God, He's a coming soon.
Amen.
Things are lining up. This world has gone crazy.
Right.
Amen. And things are lining up for the Antichrist. Things are lining up for the one world government. Things are lining up for everybody to get together, have one world religion. All those things are coming together. That tells me that Jesus is coming soon. And very soon. Today could be the very day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. That means don't put it off till tomorrow, because He may come today. Amen. If He comes today and you're left behind, my friend, there's no such thing as a second chance. There's no such thing in the Bible that God says He'll give the hearers a second chance. There are some in the Bible that get saved after the rapture takes place, but they are Gentile dogs of Gentile nations who have not heard the Word of God. Those that's ever heard, those that's ever read the Word of God and heard the gospel message and heard that Jesus Christ can save their soul from a devil's hell when Jesus comes and takes the bride home. The bride is made up. Amen. There's no man and pieces to the bride. She's all made up when Jesus comes.
Right.
Preached a revival years ago. This gentleman sat over on the far right side or left side. Your left, my right. Anyway, he sat over on the far side. And I preached my lungs out like I did this morning. That old fellow was over, and I give the invitation. He'd say, "Baby, get in while the waters are troubled." I gave the invitation. I pleaded, and I cried, and I begged those folks, let's just obey God. And I'm going to do the same thing this morning. I'm just asking you to obey God. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. You've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Today's the day of salvation.
Amen.
I know that it's a special occasion. This is Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday. What a day to remember it.
Yeah.
What a day to remember. Hey, every Easter you can celebrate. That's the day that I got saved. Amen. But I believe in you this morning. Get in while the waters are troubled. Because there's coming a day. There's coming a day. Just as there was a day that Jesus Christ came, was born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half years on this earth, was nailed to an old rugged cross, bled and died for the sins of all men, a ransom for all men. Just as that is real, the bodily resurrection of the Savior Jesus Christ is real. He came up out of the grave. You go to the tomb there, it's empty. And just as all of that is real, it is real, it is reality that Jesus Christ is coming back to claim
his own.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. He's coming.
Yes.
He's coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? You know why we sing "Because He Loved Me"? We shouted in the choir this morning. You know why we did that? Because we know that our names have not been blotted out of the book of life. The Bible teaches us there is a book of life, and everybody that's ever born, their name is written down in that book of life.
Amen.
And everybody that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, their name is blotted out with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Their name is blotted out by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means they've rejected that blood, and their name is blotted out. I'm glad that we can shout and rejoice that our name has not been blotted out.
Amen.
Amen. What about Judas? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege.